516-620-3602. You can put on your Visa, American Express, MasterCard. Do payments of $20.83 a month. You're going to be a member of this wonderful radio station. You're going to be supporting this station that brings you this content. This should be taught in school, in elementary school, how to get along with others, how to deal with those push-button issues. This, it would save so much heartache and pain, and yes, money. And speaking of money, you have just a minute to go to call up and pledge your financial support to this radio station and take home Your Brain on Love, the 6-CD set. The number one most requested thank you gift at our sister station in Los Angeles is now available to you, the WBAI listeners. We have seconds to go. Won't you be the next caller? 516-620-3602. Join listeners like the folks who have called in from Maywood, New Jersey, or Ridgewood, New Jersey, or Bardonia, New York, or Larchmont, New York. They've called. We want you to call in too right now and join them. Help us right now. We have 30 seconds to go. The calls are coming in. That's a great sign, but I need all hands on deck. Everyone who is in a relationship, who wants to be in a relationship, or who's just had the relationship from hell, call right now. 516, you know who you are. 516-620-3602. I'm out of time. I want to say thank you so very much, Michael G. Haskins. I also want to say thank you, everybody, for pledging. I'm Christine Blasdale. Stay tuned for more Fun Drive programming coming your way right here on WBAI.
I'm Marika Edwards from the Artsy Fartsy, and I want to invite you to become a member of the Artsy Fartsy Show Theater Club. Theater Club members will attend 5 performances during the month of June together. That's 1 performance, 3 off performances of Sisters Musical, Black Angels Over Tuskegee, and Churchill the Play, and 1 emergent experimental theater performance called Treasure of the Empire, an experimental musical on board a pirate ship. So, performance every week during the June. To become a theater club member, visit give to WBAI.org or call 229-2900. And let them know you want to support this listener-sponsored radio by becoming a theater club member. Let's enjoy New York City's vibrant theater and art together.
Consider becoming a BAI buddy.
listen to my heart speak.
Bathe in the warmth of the morning sun. I wait for you.
Love to say good morning. I'm always tempted to say good evening, but technically it is good morning. Hello, Paulette.
Hello, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. So here we are with Earth at Midnight, as we have called this program. And I rather like that name, though it is a program that is a fusion of the program Heart of Mind, fused with Earth at Midnight. And maybe we should just call it the Kathy and Paulette Show, I don't know. But, you know, we're here, and we are at the moment in different boroughs, but we are speaking through the magic of radio. So I'm really happy that you're joining me this morning, Paulette.
And happy to be here.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time. Of course, WBAI is fundraising, and we are going to have, you know, keep up that responsibility and ask people to make a pledge. In fact, I'll just give the number out right now for all of you who have not yet had it ingrained indelibly into your mind. The number is 212-209-2950. And anyone who is listening can make that phone call and make a pledge of support for WBAI and for this program. Though I don't think the name Earth at Midnight is yet up on the website, so people can pledge in the name of Heart of Mind, and it will count, because this is our place on the schedule. And there are many premiums we could offer, Paulette, but, you know, I thought it would be nice to catch up. It's been a beautiful week, though it's a little bit cold today. So I'm wondering, I guess summer didn't technically start yet, so it's okay for it to be chilly.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope that we do. I hope the weather stops teasing us with this warm preview of what's to come.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit, how shall I put it? I won't say nervous about complaining, but I know how hot can get. And so when August comes along and we're sweating bullets because it's so hot, we're going to be longing for this cool night. So
that's true.
So I guess we can enjoy this weather while we have it. I tend to prefer spring and autumn over summer and winter. Yeah. So I like that, you know, as far as the seasons go.
Same here. I like the transition seasons where somewhere you have to wear a jacket, but the air is nice and fresh.
Yeah. It's, yeah, the air feels like it's moving, and then in the height of day, it's usually warm enough to be around without the jacket, but in evenings you have to carry it. So I guess that's probably the temperature that I enjoy the most, when it's somewhat cool, but not overpoweringly cold as it has been. So I'm really happy that I'm grateful that there's green on the leaves instead of bare branches, and I'm grateful that there's warmth in the midday. So it's beautiful. And so we're here needing to fundraise, but I thought it would be interesting to engage people a little bit in the program itself. We have been doing this collaboration called Earth at Midnight, and it started out really with sort of a celebration of Earth Watch when we were just offering commemorative shows of Robert Knight's work in this time slot. And then it became known that, well, we really want, from the station's perspective, live energy happening at midnight. So we started doing the live show. And I'm kind of glad. I have really enjoyed sharing this space, and I've really enjoyed the listeners and their thoughtful questions and comments. And that interactive space I find at midnight is very powerful. And people seem to be, to reach deeper into themselves in a way that I haven't quite noticed in the earlier hours of the day, or later hours, depending on one's perspective. But I think there's something really special about the overnight and the kind of energy that is present when people are more relaxed. They've had some time to decompress from the day, but people are, generally speaking, still very active and alive, you know, in that strike of midnight when we move into the early morning. Many people would still be out during those hours, or maybe just coming home during these hours. So there's a level of real aliveness to it, at the same time that it's kind of laid back. So it's an interesting phenomena that I've come to really appreciate. So how have you felt about this, you know, interaction that we're doing here at midnight with our listeners?
I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think that this sort of vibe that I think you create in your very soothing voice is something that probably calms down a lot of people, and I think it's a huge hugely wonderful, I guess, assessment of your ability to bring people out to want to communicate with you in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Well, we could be doing that at this moment, but our phone lines are not quite in gear, so we don't have the regular line for people to call. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're hoping that will be engaged very soon, because we're back to regular programming next week, and I would really be missing that interaction, though maybe we can hook up something through Skype. We're going to figure something out. But it's interesting, you were speaking of my voice as being somewhat soothing, and I acknowledge that, because indeed I do enjoy this medium of communication and radio, but I'm also a meditation teacher, and I teach relaxation techniques and meditation, so my voice is one of the tools of healing that I use in my private practice. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I actually do have a 2-CD set, a meditation for the new millennium, I call it, which is available to people who would pledge at the $50 level when they call 212-209-2950. So I couldn't resist getting that in there to let people know that, yeah, you can pledge and you can listen to my voice as much as you like. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you can have a remarkably healing and transformative experience from these two CD sets. That's what I've come to understand. I've been making it available to people in my classes and in other work, and I do the meditations myself, so they're really quite powerful. It's two CDs, almost 2 hours of meditations, different ones, for your pledge of $50. So call 212-209-2950 and ask for a meditation for the new millennium, and you'll receive that two CD set as a thank you gift for your support of our program here over WBAI. I interrupted you, Paulette. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I didn't mean to imply that it's your voice solely that offers a sort of comfort level, but it's also the substance of what you say.
Oh, thank you.
And when I'm there live with you and I'm listening to the people who call in, I'm impressed by the fact that even on evenings where one wouldn't think that there would be a wide audience listening, such as, the eve of Thanksgiving, you still have a fairly broad audience and people who feel moved to communicate with you. And I think that's a huge tribute to your talent and your sense of spirit that comes through the radio.
And thank you very much. And I have to say that I have been felt very rewarded and really enjoyed working with you, Paulette, because I have been, I've been doing the radio thing for a while, and I have a tendency and have had a tendency to be, a solo artist, I guess. And that feeling of collaboration and sisterhood is very powerful. And I do, honestly, I was going to say feel, but I would say that I would go so far as to say that I know that we are like kindred spirits. We have a lot of the same soul force behind us and a kind of dedication to truth and bringing honesty to work and bringing a sense of change and an opportunity to heal into the world. And I know that your life is one in which you have worked with communities and helping to transform people in their everyday lives. And so it's one thing to, sort of have to just enjoy the art of radio and to be here as a creative force. But I think we both have a dedication to really making a change in the world. And I believe that that holds true to the legacy of Earthwatch, hosted by my dear departed colleague, Robert Knight. And I think that over the years I had been very much inspired by his work and his creativity. And there's a certain level of surrender to what comes through you that I saw him do on the air. And he would be able to come up with these magnificent quotes or ideas or the turn of a phrase or a joke, and the way he would respond was a completely live creation in progress, in process. So there was no sitting down and taking of notes. All of that came through him in the moment because he was free enough to open and allow that creative force to flow through him. And I think that that's something that I picked up from listening to Earthwatch and sort of put it into the other work that I do, but really begin to realize that you can trust yourself to be out here and allow that wisdom that it's coming through you. You don't always need to take credit for it. You know, I think anybody who can open themselves up to the wisdom of the universe is going to have something profound to say. But it takes a level of willingness and courage to take that chance that you're just going to open your mouth and trust that whatever comes through is going to make sense. And it's interesting because the way we've done some of the shows, we would come in and we would sit and say, what are we going to talk about today? And it's a really spontaneous creation.
Yeah.
And so there's this beautiful collaboration that includes yourself, myself, and our listeners that allows for these really beautiful moments to occur and really wonderful phone calls, because I find that I learn from every call. Because it's free and it's open and it's allowing everyone to bring their wisdom to the table. And so I'm finding that the work that we're doing here during the midnight hours is a little bit different than the work that I was doing in the daytime, which was more organized and, you know, having all the guests lined up and all the prep ready, and then you're still spontaneous, but there's a level of radioship that's very different. It felt more, I don't want to say it felt more professional, but it felt more contained in some ways. Mm. Where the overnight has traditionally been known at WBAI to be free-form radio. And freeform radio is an eclectic mix of sound bites, of music, of conversation, of interviews, of insights. So each program is actually a work of art. And, you know, when I listen to the other freeform programs, it's much like that. You know, I think one of the, at least to my knowledge, one of the programs that's been on the air as long as I can remember, you know, with Bob Fast with Radio Unnameable, who is like really one of the masters of the art of freeform radio here at WBAI. And it's like every program is an adventure because you never quite sure where it's going to go. And so this is something that's very special, created by WBAI and specifically, and you know, there's a lot of it now throughout Pacifica perhaps, but none of it is like WBAI. And I just really think that it's important for people to recognize the craft and the art of radio, which to me happens more profoundly in the overnight hours. And it's unfortunate, though, that we don't always have the kind of support from our listeners during this time, maybe because it is more laid back. But I really want to encourage those of you who are tuning in tonight and listen to the overnight programs to make your pledge of support, 212-209-2950. You can pledge in any amount. You can become a BAI buddy and offer a pledge serially. You know, you can monthly make a $10 donation to WBAI. You can pledge in the name of a show. So that could be any show that pleases you. You could pledge in the name of Heart of Mind. You can pledge in the name of Radio Unnameable. You can pledge in the name of Hour of the Wolf. You can pledge in the name of any of the programs that you love over WBAI. But if you were to do it now, then it would also help let the radio station know that you value this particular Wednesday overnight program, which we have called Earth at Midnight. But I'd be happy for you to support any program that you love. We know that there are more than one good show on WBAI. There are many. So we have a few premiums for people, and we want you to pledge. I spoke of the two CD set that I created, Meditation for the New Millennium with Catherine Davis, a two CD set for your $50 pledge. And so we'll talk more about that. Or you could go to the website, give2wbai.org. And I had a premium that I offered earlier in the drive called Journey on the Exhale, Shamanic Breathwork with Ava Garber. And there was an event that took place this past Monday. But it was so great, I said, you have to do another one. So we put it back onto the website. It's actually a $60 pledge. But it's one of these things where it's a whole shamanic journeying experience through breath work. You know, you're lying on the floor, you're doing this special breath pattern that puts you into a trance-like state. Really, really, very cool. And then after the breath work, we create a mandala, and which is something that you can use to meditate to bring back the energy and visualization of the event. So it's going to be, another one's going to be happening in June. Not sure the date, either the 14th or the 15th, but you can pledge $60, and it's called Journey on the Exhale, Shamanic Breath Work. So that's something really interesting for people who want to take that contemplative spiritual path. And but we also had a really great package a couple of weeks ago, Paulette, with Ray McGovern. Maybe you can tell people about the interview. I know that the interview on its own was a pledge of $35 only. The interview with Ray McGovern, and then we had an interview CD and the DVD together, Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence, together, DVD and CD is a $100 pledge. So when you call 212-209-2950, you could ask for the Ray McGovern package, or, you know, Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence, which is a package, or the Ray McGovern 2015 interview with Paulette Spencer. So, Paulette, tell us about the interview that you conducted with Ray McGovern. I mean, I was there, but, you know, it was your interview. So give our listeners a little bit of a reminder of what that was all about.
Sure. Back in, I guess it was December, one of the subcommittees, the congressional subcommittees, released the summary report of what they call the interrogation report on the use of I guess, torture techniques to extract information from people who are suspected for various, terroristic acts. And the report basically revealed that even intelligence agents themselves said that the use of torture is not effective in getting useful information. And I then was interested in getting a sense of what the international agreements are on torture, and so I looked at the United Nations Conventions on Torture, which were signed and ratified by the U.S. By the mid-80s, and I thought to myself, well, I've known of Mr. McGovern through WBAI, and I know that Robert Knight interviewed him on many occasions, and so I wanted to get a sense of what Mr. McGovern thought of all of this. I mean, his history, I thought was quite rich. He had a 27-year career as an analyst for the Central Intelligence Agency, and he was a briefer for several presidents, starting with John F. Kennedy, Jr., and he was with the White House until, I think, George Bush Sr.'s administration. And so my aim was to get a sense of what his take on the results of the report were, and how all of that played out throughout his career. And so he was very generous with his time and gave us a pretty good overview of the development from the 80s through the 90s into the early 2000s and what led up to the report, especially the events of 9/11. And so I was also interested in the spirit of our program to get a sense of what his moral compass was. And I know that he had this history as being part of the presidential administrations. And now that I know that he's an anti-war activist, I wanted to get a sense of where his center came from in terms of defending people against unjust actions by government entities. And so that is how I came up with the idea to approach him. And in the interview, he's quite vivid descriptions of what he experienced at the intelligence level, and what it was like working in certain administrations. And it was a very lively conversation. I think altogether, we were on the phone live at the time for about an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really very good, rich summary of what the history of torture techniques and using similar methods to extract information has been in this country.
Mm. So for the people who would love to support WBAI and this program, Earth at Midnight, Heart of Mind, and you can make a pledge of $35 when you call 212-209-2950 and receive the CD interview with Paulette. If you pledge at the $100 level, you'll also get the Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence DVD, along with the CD. So it's a nice choice. I thought I would play a little clip from the interview, and so that people can have a little taste of what that was. So I'll do that, and then we can resume afterwards. It's not too long. As long as you can hang on for a while, Paulette, how are you
doing?
Okay, we'll be back.
Thank you.
You know, Paulette, on the Friday after the report, so that would be, what, the 8th, 9th, or something like the 13th or so, up in New York, WBAI did have myself and, let's see, Marcy Wheeler and, what's his name, a fellow who was actually an interrogator for the CIA, and we had a 20-minute discussion that got to the essence of these issues. And I thought, you know, wow, you know, if that could get out and about in a way that even if people just driving in their cars, they get on the radio, that would be really worth a thousand words. Carl was the name of the other gentleman. I don't know him personally, but he's written a book about the interrogation. And what he ended up saying was that there was no guidance in the beginning. He was out there in the field. He had a detainee, they call it these days. In the old army, we used to call them prisoners. And he was looking for instructions. And you know what the instructions he finally got were?
What?
Do what you have to do.
Wow.
Create the information. Do what you have to do.
Hmm.
Isn't that something? Then he realized he had to quit, that he couldn't abide by that kind of thing. So we can talk about, you know, whether you can get information that way and what kind of information, if you'd like to get into that.
Sure, very much so. How does one get that kind of information? I mean, please expand on what you're saying.
Yeah, I usually start by quoting the head of Army Intelligence and what he said on the same day that George Bush was going to announce how wonderful these enhanced interrogation techniques are. Have I already said that? Because if not, I'll start that way again. General Timmons?
No.
Okay, good. It's early in the morning, and I've talked to so many people today that I lose track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is really important, and it made me proud to be an Army intelligence officer, frankly. One of the few times I could be proud during all this imbroglio. What happened was this. Dana Priest of the Washington Post had uncovered the fact that there were secret prisons around, scattered around the world. She didn't name the countries, but we've since known that they were Poland and Lithuania. They were Thailand and Afghanistan. There was another Baltic Republic, let's see, Lithuania, Poland. Bulgaria is not Baltic, but there was another one of those new European countries. So those are five right there. So that was all revealed in a major, major coup piece there by Dana Priest in the Washington Post. So by and by, people got wind of the fact that the CIA was kidnapping people, that they were rendering them, fancy word for kidnapping, extraordinarily rendering them to other places, these black sites in the countries I mentioned. Now, how many countries in the world do you think would have allowed the CIA to do that, to go through their airspace, use their airports, turn a blind eye to these flights that went into Poland and Lithuania and Bulgaria and Thailand and a couple other countries? How many countries in the whole world do you think would have aided and abetted that? I have the answer here. I'm just
okay.
Let me tell you what the answer is.
All right.
54.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I'm not surprised at that number. Because as I have sort of a background working with the international governmental organizations and somewhat of a sense of how some of these agreements work, where it's a quid pro quo relationship with governments where you give them something and they give you something in return. And sometimes that includes having access to these spots in their country, or them allowing you to fly in their airspace, or all sorts of other things, and votes and so forth.
Yeah, and often it takes the form of money, right?
Yes, certainly.
And sometimes it's not given to the government, but to the particular government security officials who put the money in their pocket and have power to wave the planes on through. Anyhow, it was 54, and I don't have perhaps all the experience you've had, Paul, but I was really shocked. You know, 54 countries out of how many? What, 200 countries in the world? My God. And the U.S. has that power, economic and other power, ties with all manner of intelligence services in these countries. So anyhow, that's where it was. Now, George Bush said he was going to make a speech, a press conference and speech on the 6th of September 2006, after the cat was out of the bag about what we were doing. Enhanced interrogation techniques had not been coined yet, but people were talking about procedures to be used against terrorists and so forth. Well, what happened earlier that day were two things. Number one, the CIA went to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and told them about all this for the first time. Now, how I know that? Dianne Feinstein has said that. So on the morning of September 6th, in the afternoon of which Bush was going to advertise and defend these enhanced interrogation techniques, that was the first time. The first time that the Senate Intelligence Committee was briefed by the CIA on what they had been doing. Now, the real story is this, and this is the one that makes me proud to have been an Army intelligence officer. Across the river, Lieutenant General John Timmons learned what was going to happen at the White House that afternoon, so he arranged his own press conference across the river, across the Potomac, at the Pentagon, and he arranged that for the morning. So you might say there was a preemptive attack, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Well, what did Kimmon say? He said this, and I quote, "No good intelligence is ever going to come from abusive practices, period. History shows that, and the experience, the empirical experience of the last 5 years, comma, hard years, comma, also demonstrates that, period, end quote." Okay, in other words, no good reliable intelligence is ever going to come from abusive techniques such as our president is about to announce this afternoon. Pretty gutsy guy, huh? Pretty gutsy. I was surprised that the Army was able to defend him and keep him in place for a while. So that's the reality, okay? Now, who are you going to believe? General John Kimmons, who spent his whole life in Army intelligence, mostly, incidentally, on interrogation tactics and so forth? Or are you going to believe Dick Cheney or George Bush? George Bush gets up and he says, "We've developed an alternative set of procedures," and this was quickly called enhanced interrogation techniques, and he bragged about how effective they were and all this stuff. Well, Kimmons had done his job. He not only had told the president, but he wanted to tell the people of this country. Now, had you heard about what Kimmons said that day, Paulette?
No, I have not.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. The press missed that. You know? Did they miss it? No, they didn't miss it. They were there. It was a big press conference. So that's just another little indication here. If the American people knew at that time, or even now, that that's what Kimmons said, then what would they be asking? Well, hello, if it doesn't yield reliable intelligence, then why would we do it? And, you know, there's sort of a sensible human reasoning here. Everyone knows if someone is inflicting pain on them, they're going to do whatever they can to stop them, right? So they're going to tell people what they think they want to hear, or they'll tell them anything to stop the pain. That's the way not only human animals, but all kinds of animals will act, right? So it's just practical common sense that torture does not give reliable information. So how about this question? Why would they do it anyway? Well, aside from pure sadism, aside from the desire to show who's in charge and that we are not only the sole indispensable country in the world, but one that's beyond the human laws of nature and humanity. Besides all that is this calculation. And I hope that people listen to this because it's important. You can't get reliable information from torture, but if it's unreliable information you want, man.
Just like the wind feels the flight of the sparrow, I feel you.
Wow. You know, that clip ended just as we were getting to the punchline. Are you there, Paulette?
Uh-oh.
There you are.
Yes,
I am. You know, I'm still getting used to these slides.
Oh.
I was pushing up the wrong one.
Oh.
So the clip ended just before the punchline. You know, when you're playing clips, sometimes you lose a little bit. But basically what he was saying, if reliable information is what you want, this is the way to go. Unreliable information, rather. So that was a pretty amazing part of the interview, I thought.
Yes, indeed. And he went on to speak about incidences where they knew that someone had given unreliable or given information that was unreliable and used that information anyhow to justify
activities in other countries.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, that seemed to be the whole objective,
yes,
quite tragically, was to create the false flag, as people would say, or the false,
yes,
catalyst to justify, mm-hmm, unjustifiable behaviors and unjustifiable corruption and abuse of governmental forces.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to say who's in charge and who's behind it and who's the responsible. It seems to be something that's been going on for many generations. So I don't even know anymore who to point the finger at. But I do know that the best answer to all of this is for people to know the truth.
Absolutely.
So that there's not this media manipulation of people's minds being drawn off into war based on lies.
Certainly, and there is the phrase, the right to know,
mm-hmm,
or the need to know. And I believe firmly that as people who finance activities that occur here and abroad, that very fact that you are involved and these activities are being done on your, in your name, that you indeed have the need and the right to know what is happening.
Exactly. And also, I think that this brings out why it's so important to support and sustain WBAI. I know it's not a perfect place, you know, it's quite fragile, actually, and I know that the people are not all that. We don't all have all the answers. Not everyone knows the right thing to do, and there are a lot of issues in an organization like this, but the one thing that WBAI has is an opportunity to bring the truth to the airwaves, to be able to inform our listeners, and really to be able to inform the public discourse on what's happening in the world. And people sometimes forget, now that we have the internet and we have a lot of alternative media, that all of this possibility was given birth to here at WBAI and at Pacifica. There was a time when this was the only game in town where a person could come to find the truth. And I think this is still true. And as other kinds of media start to get shut down, as they start to penetrate more and more deeply into the internet, it's still going to be terrestrial radio that a person can go to free of charge. You just need a device that can tune into the signal, something called a radio. Many people don't know what that is anymore, but that means that, you know, that mode of communication, you don't have to have the money to own a computer or to have a smartphone or to have internet service. Radio is essentially free if you can spend a couple of bucks on a radio. And it's a powerful force that needs to be preserved in an environment, a political environment, where civil liberties and information is being warred upon by the shadows behind the scenes, I would say. But everything becomes part of that process. So the police become a weapon of the state. The military is a weapon of the state. The courts are a weapon of the state. The judiciary, you know, there are so many injustices that freedom of speech is on a fragile edge. And it's important to sustain a radio network that has a broadcast in the middle of the dial that people can connect to with just a receiver, to share information and to motivate each other and to really bring the truth. And that affects not just each of you who are listening, but it affects the public discourse because the information travels. And
yes,
there wouldn't be so many alternative media had not there been this first point of penetration into the commercial realm.
Absolutely. And I would encourage people to call in at 212-209-2950. One, because it to me is a very wonderful environment and an opportunity to have such conversations with people like Ray McGovern, mm-hmm. with people who have taken part in history and who can speak very frankly in such a conversation. No one is editing or censoring what we're saying to each other. And I'm going to quote Robert Knight in something he said many years ago, that with radio, you have the unique opportunity not to be heard listening. And he'd say, as he'd say, no one can hear you hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it's a truly free medium.
It's free and anonymous.
Yes. Whereas with a computer, you have to be registered with a server, and so they'll always know what your thought patterns are because they can see what different web pages you're visiting. But in radio, no one can hear you hearing.
That's very profound. And the number here is 212-209-2950. And it is true, we have to find more creative ways to sustain our radio station and our network and this kind of work. But truly, the way to sustain it is for everyone to participate in that process. So this CD at $35 is just about an hour, a little over an hour. It's a full CD of the interview with Ray McGovern. So that's a $35 pledge. And so for those of you who can do that $35 pledge, and most, I would say, can. Granted, not everybody can. We have people living in the streets in New York. We have people that are hungry. We have people who don't have the basic resources to get on the train. I can't travel along the train without somebody asking me for to swipe the card and help them get on the train. So I know that there are many, many people who are struggling day to day. I go through that myself from time to time. You know, there are days when I just don't have a penny in my pocket. But, you know, for those who can make a pledge of $35, by all means, pledge $35 and listen through the whole CD. If you can pledge at the $100 level, you get the CD and the DVD. Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence, DVD with CD interview at the $100 level. The CD alone at the $35 level. And if everyone who is listening would actually pick up that phone call and make that phone call, it would make a significant difference. You know, this is the struggle here at WBAI, is that resistance of people to think that their little bit that they can give will make a difference. Well, it does make a difference. When you see someone on the corner with a cup collecting change, that change adds up. And it means that somebody has a meal, or it means that somebody has a bed for the night. Well, it's the same with WBAI, sadly, very much the same. Our fund drive is our cup, and we're saying, you know what, we have to pay our rent. We have to keep a roof over the head. We have to pay what salaries, can be paid, which are not many anymore. 19 people were laid off here at WBAI. The technology. So it's something that needs to be understood as a collaborative responsibility. And I know that it's hard to listen to pitching and rebroadcasts and endlessly asking for money, but that would end if every single person who listens to WBAI picked up the phone and made a pledge.
Or became a buddy.
Or became a buddy. That's even more powerful, because therefore you're helping us to sustain from month to month. 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people doing that would make all the difference in the world. So you should never, never think that your contribution is not a powerful force for change and a powerful force for sustaining the radio station. I mean, you can call and make a pledge of $5 or $10, a one-time pledge. You know, everybody can do something. and WBAI in order to truly make it through this political financial crunch needs everyone's participation, because I promise you the value of the radio signal is such that if we lost ownership of this license, or if we lost the signal on the tower or from whatever tower, it will be gone forever. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not wishing it upon us. But we have to think and take some responsibility and not make it about, well, I don't like that guy and I don't like what he said, or she doesn't know what she's talking about, when, you know, we have to look at the bigger picture and say, is this something we want to preserve? Do we want to have this access to this if, you know, things get worse in the country? Or do you want to have access to this? Do I want my children and my grandchildren to have access to free media? That's what you're supporting when you call 212-209-2950.
WBAI has always been sort of a university of the radio. Mm-hmm. And who I'm quoting right now is, I think it's Edward R. Murrow. And I think that with BAI's history of being the first in many areas, be it from the first to promote George Carlin and the Seven Dirty Words, the first to have Bob Fast and Radio Unnameable and have this sort of free-form radio style, to Robert Knight, Dennis Bernstein, and other journalists who had Contragate and Undercurrents throughout all of the 90s, 2000s with Wake Up Call, of course, Earthwatch, which was on the air for 31 years and was created by Robert, to have that sort of history and that sort of vessel that you can use and refer to for a long time to come is a very special thing. And I don't think that that really exists anywhere else on the dial.
Maybe not in the world, really, when you think about it. I mean, there are copycats, but a lot of the stations that are out there that are non-commercial stations are not truly non-commercial in the sense that they take a lot of their take some foundation money, or they take some of this money, or they're able to reach into other kinds of resources that are more commercial than WBI and Pacifica does. So we're very, at this moment, actually, we're not even receiving CPB money, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Right.
So we're relying entirely on listeners to sustain the radio station and the network. And so we're a little bit like a ragtag crew, but at the same time, we're like a starship because we're always flying into uncharted territory. And you know, you'll listen to the air and there'll be a lot of mavericks and a lot of people who seem like, you know, oddballs and off the beaten track. But if we don't allow that, then how can we continue to bring forth new change, manifest something that didn't exist before? The door has to be open for that. I mean, I believe many, many producers, myself included, was a listener and was inspired by what was heard on WBAI. And I said to myself, I love that. I'm going to support it. I'm going to volunteer. And then it became, I wonder if I could do that. And then you start listening to learn the craft. And the beauty of what's happening here at WBAI is people can walk through the door and learn how to do radio. They can get involved with a program. They can volunteer. They can intern. So there's room here for to continue the legacy. But in order to continue the legacy, we have to sustain the survival of BAI. And if you don't like what's happening now, it's okay. Let us survive another 10 years and you can come in and do something else. The idea is that the medium, the canvas, stays alive and vibrant and active and available. And so this is why we're asking you to call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge of support. This is the last week of our summer drive. Now, whether it's the last drive of the summer, I cannot promise you because, hey, we have to pay the rent. The number is 212-209-2950. And, you know, let's take it with a little bit of casualness. It's not that serious. And I believe that if we can come to the air, we can do our pitching, but in the process, try to give you good programming, have some fun with each other. It's all good. You know, everybody has to work. You know, you sit at home by now. Many of you, some of you are working. I used to work at night. But some of you are sitting at home. You worked all day. Okay. You know, Fun Drive is kind of like the work part of doing radio. We have to do the work to pay the bills. But it's so much better than playing these commercials that are designed to control your mind, that are designed to send you into debt and send you into insecurity and having all these needs as if you can't live without the latest thing. Well, we're not trying to do that. We're trying to give you something that in some way will benefit you, either through information, by improving your health, creating a more stable inner being state of mind, getting connected to your higher power, your wisdom. So we try to bring you things that are going to make a difference in your life, that are going to uplift and empower you. And in exchange for that, we ask for your support. 212-209-2950. I have another clip, actually from the DVD. Should I play that? I tagged it here, 20-year corruption of the CIA. Should I play that? I think people might want
to
hear that.
I think so.
Okay, so we'll play this, and let's see if we can entice you to make a phone call. Remember, it's a $35 pledge is the interview, Ray McGovern 2015 interview with Paulette Spencer. Just a $35 pledge. At the $100 level, you get the DVD and the CD. Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence, DVD and CD. And for those of you who, such as myself, have a tendency to not pay so much attention to the politics and wanting to be closer to the divinity of humanity, of all creation, then you might want to have a meditation CD. Meditation for the New Millennium, a 2-CD set for a $50 pledge. And if you want the actual experience, the transcendental experience, the visionary shamanic experience, it's happening in June. Pledge at the $60 level for Journey on the Exhale, shamanic breathwork. I attended the first workshop and I'll attend the next as well. Okay, so now we're going to go. I'm feeling schizophrenic already. Let's go to Ray McGovern. We'll be back in a moment.
Great.
One of the saddest things that I was forced to observe during my career at CIA was that we gradually gravitated from a culture where you told it like it was. You know, you spoke out without fear or favor. And where we had career protection for doing that, to a culture where political considerations started to impinge upon the objectivity of the analysis. And that began big time when Bill Casey came in as Ronald Reagan's director of the CIA. Now, he was a really smart fellow, and he was a great spy master for World War II, but the times had passed him by, and suffice it to say, he saw a Soviet under every rock, you know, he saw Russian under every rock, and those analysts who said, "Oh, wait a second, Mr. Director, I see two Soviets there." Well, they became branch chiefs, and the ones that saw three became division chiefs. It was almost that bad. And the ones that would say, "You know, I don't see any there at all," or "You know, this is really kind of propaganda spread by rightists in this particular country,"
they didn't get advanced at all. Many of them left. Robert Gates, who is now the Secretary of Defense, worked for me during the 70s as one of my analysts on the Middle East, actually. And he very quickly learned the way up in the agency, and by the time Casey came 10 years later, he was ready. And he became the head of analysis under Casey, and it was he and Casey that politicized analysis first and foremost on the Soviet Union. And that, of course, is why the CIA missed the fall of the Soviet Union. It just couldn't happen because these commies were commies forever. The party would never lose its place in the Soviet structure. And so even though analysts working there under these folks knew full well that Gorbachev, for example, was for real, that we really ought to pursue this glasnost, this perestroika, this whole opening of the Soviet system, they were prevented from saying so. Now, I left at about that time, as it was starting to get pretty bad. But what's the result of all that? Well, the way you politicize an institution like this is you get what I call malleable managers. Okay? You get people who are more interested in sniffing the prevailing winds from the White House or from the seventh floor, and you trim your analytical sails accordingly, okay? And there are far too many of those folks, and they, of course, got moved ahead and became the managers. And this is true in any bureaucracy, but it didn't happen to be true before that in the CIA. And what happened then, when the new president came in and kept George Tenet on, and decided he wanted to make a war on Iraq. Well, George Tenet was the beneficiary, if you can use that word, of a whole new culture of malleable managers who would salute no matter what they were told to do. So, for example, in the summer of 2002, months after the decision for war had already been made, there had been no national intelligence estimate. Now, national intelligence estimate is the kind of product, it's the supreme genre of intelligence analysis. It's always done before a key political decision in foreign affairs is made and implemented. On Vietnam, they would always ask for an estimate before they would start a new campaign of bombing or some new tactic. In this case, no estimate was requested by the White House, and no estimate was offered by George Tenet. Why? Because an honest estimate on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq would have said, well, we know that 90% were destroyed right after the Gulf War. We have lists of other things, but we've never seen them. We've never seen them in satellite photography or intercepted communications. So we don't know if they exist, but they're on this list. And that would have been what would be served up, but that's not what the president wanted. And so it's better to do nothing than to that. Well, when they decided to ask Congress to approve this war, and the Democrats, by the way, were in charge of the Senate at that point in time, but Bob Graham from Florida, who was the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, he was kind of sleepy in one sense, and in another sense, he was distracted because he wanted to run for president, you know, so he let this sort of slip by. Dick Durbin, one of the people on the committee, said, hey, Bob, they want us to vote for war, and we don't even have an estimate on whether there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, like they say, or if there are, whether they're real danger to anybody. So don't you think we ought to ask for it? And
I guess so.
So he calls Tenet and says, hey, how about an estimate on weapons of mass destruction? This is the middle of September 2002. And you know what Tenet says? He says, I'm sorry, Senator, but we're too busy. We're, you know, too busy doing other stuff. And Graham says, oh, okay, and hangs up. Durbin says, what'd he say? He says, he's too busy. Man, that won't work. Call him back and say he's got to do it. Graham called back, well, you know, we really need one if you want us to vote for war. So what does Tenet do? Tenet says, well, okay, I'll check this out. He goes to the White House. He says, looks like we can't avoid this estimate any longer. What should I do? And the politicos there, I'm sure it was Karl Rove and Andy Card and that whole Corcoran Janey, Well, okay, you go back and do an estimate, but it's got to come out the way Dick Cheney said it was on the 26th of August, 2002. Now, estimates usually take a couple of months. Why 3 weeks? Because we want to force the Democrats to vote on this before the midterm elections. Best timing would be early October. Now, Tenet, to the disgrace of himself and to the whole intelligence profession, says, okay. Okay, he says. And he goes back to headquarters and he explains the conditions to the people, his managers around the table. Now, if he had done that in our day, you know, it said, you know, we have to do it 3 weeks and we have to do it according to what the vice president says is the situation with Weapons Minister Trekin. We would have said, George, that's really good, George. George, you're kidding, right? You're serious, George? Sorry, we don't do that. We would get up from that table and walked out of it. You know, I'm convinced I would have, and I'm sure that a handful of others, some would have made a stain, but he would have known. He would have known that he had insurrection on his hands. Instead, what he's the beneficiary of is this politicization process started in 1982. Now it's 2002. So you got 20 years of these people being moved up and the people around there said, yes, sir, 3 weeks, we can do that. Now, who was put in charge of this estimate? A fellow named Robert Walpole, whose claim to fame was that he orchestrated an estimate in 1998 that did Donald Rumsfeld's bidding. Donald Rumsfeld wanted to make out Korea, North Korea, to be a big threat to us, a rogue regime that could get an ICBM, and so obviously we'd need a national missile defense to protect against that, okay? And the serious analyst said North Korea couldn't get that kind of capability for 15 years, okay? Well, Rumsfeld objected, and he persuaded Clinton to appoint Robert Walpole to do a different estimate. And he did an estimate that says, no, the North Koreans could have this capability by 2002. Dead wrong, of course, okay? But Walpole had proved that he could do what he was required to do. Now, in Tenet's book, for some reason, Tenet says, so I appointed Robert Walpole, who, by the way, is a Mormon bishop who often comes to work on a motorcycle. Well, okay. What the heck does that have to do with being in charge of an estimate? Well, Walpole did what he thought was his duty, and the others did too, and what emerged from that was the very worst national intelligence estimate ever produced by any intelligence organization that I know of.
So that was rather interesting as well, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Giving some of the breakdown on how this situation was created over time that would allow these false estimates to be issued by the intelligence, I suppose one could say, non-intelligence agencies. And so this is just, you heard two clips, one CD from the CD, one from the DVD. And if you can make a pledge of $100 when you call 212-209-2950, you'll receive both the CD and the DVD of Ray McGovern, 212-209-2950. And this is, you know, and in many ways, Ray McGovern is lucky that he came forward as a whistleblower so early on, because nowadays whistleblowers are being jailed and imprisoned and tortured in ways that I would have one time at one point thought not possible in this country.
Yes, indeed. And he and people like him and Daniel Ellsberg also were very fortunate, as you're saying, to have come out to the public when they did.
And I think we're fortunate as well that there were some people of integrity who would stand up and show us what was going on. Now, Ray McGovern is really quite well known in circles of people who know. I'm not sure how mainstream the knowledge is, but this is the information that funnels through a station called WBAI in New York. It's like these are the people we've been bringing to the ear, to the airwaves for many, 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 many years since the beginning. And it gives all of us an opportunity to see how our world is being manipulated and controlled, and how many millions of people over these years have lost their lives in manufactured wars when it's really about power and economics, corruption and control. And WBAI is important because this helps to uplift the consciousness of the whole discourse, the whole political discourse. And it's done so. Just the fact that there is so much independent media out there is an indication of how much WBAI has lifted the discourse, the dialogue, and the awareness in people's minds. Because many of the people who are out there in that media started their careers here at WBAI, people like Amy Goodman, you know, started here as reporters on the ground. And they're big names now, but a lot of these people were trained at WBAI. And so this is why we need to support this radio station. And I'm hoping that those of you who are listening will gather the energy, take a deep breath, reach out for your phone, and dial that number, 212-209-2950. And it's not that late. We all know that if you were hungry, you would be dialing takeout and you'd have some food delivered to your house. Or if you had a honey on the other side of town, you'd have the energy to make that phone call. So we're asking you to send a little love our way here at WBAI. Take the energy of making your phone call. Make a pledge of support. We have some wonderful gifts to thank you for your support. But don't let the hour be your reason for not gathering yourself together and doing something. I mean, if somebody could walk away from their career, there are people in the world, these whistleblowers, who are going to jail, that are in hiding because they want to tell the truth. And all we're asking you to do is make a donation to the radio station that would be available to anyone who wants to tell the truth. We need your support. So call 212-209-2950.
And I think also the premium that you're offering that really concentrates on spiritual calmness and wellness and consciousness is extremely important. In that it is something that I believe is at the heart of all of this. And this is why I love the name Heart of Mind. That when you have a certain mindfulness and you have a certain consciousness of the world, that there are certain things that sort of compel you to act and to learn and to process the information so that you have a better sense of how the world functions in terms of power relationships, hegemonic relationships. And this way, when you have to make certain decisions, whatever those decisions are, whether it's voting or any other activities that residents and civilians take part in, that this is something where you would make a decision that comes from a place of mindfulness and from an inner calm, and from really extracting and synthesizing the information that you're given on such a station. I've never heard of any such eclectic station ever, and that's one of the things that attracted me to it many years ago. I had roommates, and one of them told me that I should be listening to this station, and I was so impressed by the mixture of voices, of perspectives, of music, and the the seriousness with which the broadcasters took the audience. And I never felt that I was being spoken down to, and I always found that that was the most refreshing thing about the station. And so with the spot that we have and the offerings that we're making this evening, one that concentrates purely on the inner spiritual center and how to reach and nourish that center, and the other that looks at a bit of history and the outer, but the outer activities in the world. What the two offerings have in common is that they both originate from motivations, deep motivations to bring peace. And that, I think, is the special nature of the station itself. It's to enlighten, it's to inform, and it's hopefully to bring peace within yourself, as well as to be able to spread that in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and you're right. It's a really important to recognize that you need that inner peace to be able to create peace in your world. And I have to tell you, after meeting Ray McGovern himself, that's a man who may have gone through a lot, but he is at a point in his life where there's a lot of peace inside of him.
Yeah.
And he has a tremendous generosity of spirit.
Yes.
And this is something that all warriors of peace need, you know, and it's kind of counterintuitive to use that word warrior, but it's really about self-mastery.
Hmm.
And this is why I work with meditation. And as you said, the 2-CD set Meditation for the New Millennium is about finding that inner center, that inner core, and making it very solid within you so that you're not like some will-o'-the-wisp being pushed around by the forces outside of you, but you can walk through life with a sense of real strength, with a deep connection to the forces of nature, with a deep connection to the forces of your own consciousness, being aware how deep that consciousness really is and how interconnected it is. And there's so much money and so much manipulation spent in the media to control us. A lot of what happens in the world is not even just about economic resources and natural resources within the earth. It's about consciousness. It's about the capacity to be free in your mind, in your soul. And to me, that's really what spirituality is about. It's having that inner fortitude and strength to say, I am a free and sovereign being, and I am not going to be moved by the nonsense, by the winds of change, by the manipulation of either the war machine or the media, but I'm going to stand tall in my strength.
Yeah.
And that's really what meditation is for people who don't understand what it is. And so this is why I'm offering this 2-CD set, Meditation for the New Millennium. I appreciate your opportunity, your comments, because it brought something out of me I didn't know was going to be there, but that's really what it is.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that as we progress with this program that I'll have the opportunity to have other interviews with persons who are doing similar things or other things, but who have this sort of moral compass that guides what they do.
Exactly.
And, yes. I think that's very important. It's a very important aspect of being mindful and having those heart of mind here at on Earth at midnight.
There we go. And I actually have great faith that our listeners have that moral compass, that have that dedication and have that presence of being and presence of mind to understand the value of what this is. And I'm reaching out to all of you to make a difference. When you make a pledge of support to a station such as WBAI, it's making a difference. It means that collectively, and we are interdependent beings, we rely upon each other, just like a human being needs oxygen and food to live. You know, every aspect of life is interdependent, and if this radio station is to thrive, it's because you're contributing to that. And we're asking you to do that at whatever level works for you. pledge at the $35 level for the CD, the Ray McGovern CD. You can pledge at the $50 level for the two CD meditation for the new millennium. We have the experiential journey on the exhale, which is a breath practice. It's a shamanic journey, essentially. And that's a $60 pledge. It's happening mid-June. And we also are having the package, the Ray McGovern DVD and CD at your $100 pledge of support. So maybe it's too much to offer, but we want to be able to have something here for each and every one of you so that there's no excuse. You know, we're talking about moral compass here. There's no excuse.
And you can also become a buddy for the station.
Exactly. You can become a buddy. You can make a pledge of support. You can make a one-time pledge. For those of you who have resources, you can make a little bit more of a pledge. But, you know, honor the creativity of the live programming here at WBAI, the overnights. You can pledge in the name of any show. If you enjoy the morning show, pledge in the name of the morning show. If you enjoy one of the new talkback shows, you know, there's a lot of good programs here. Pledge, I'm not particular. If you want to pledge in the name of Heart of Mind, that's wonderful. But pledge for the survival and for the thrival of WBAI Pacifica so this relationship continues, so that we as a collective consciousness can have an impact on the madness that's taking place in the world. This is something that you can do. We may not be able to do it all, but we can collectively make it possible for the right words, the right message, for the elevation of understanding to continue to be put forth into the world. And that's what you're doing when you support WBAI.
Absolutely. And in addition to the overnight shows and the morning shows, there are also the shows that depend on the arts.
Exactly.
And the humor and the music that I think help to make life worth living. And I'm very much supportive of the shows that the CCC players mm-hmm. and the beautiful music. I'm not sure if it's still on. I think so. Christopher Wentz.
Yeah.
On Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful programming on economics and on science. And this is just, a mosaic of a very rich set of areas that in each of them can nurture and expand your intellect, as well as entertain you and make you laugh.
Exactly. Well, we are just about out of time, Paulette. We have Jim Freund in the house.
We're
going to be coming up with Hour of the Wolf. So I want you to stay tuned for that as we go forward. I'm going to play a little more music for you. What did we play? We played Earth, Come to the River, a little bit of Earth Children, Sione was one piece. I'm going to play Beauty by Vargo as we leave, because this is what life is for. It's for the beauty within it, the beauty we can share, and that exchange between each of us. And if we can approach our life with love, forgiveness, compassion, then our world, your world will be much better. And as we collectively increase that consciousness, then it will grow exponentially throughout the whole of the world. So thank you, Paulette, for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. And I want to thank all of you who are listening. Remember, the number is 212-209-2950. And I'm just going to say one more time what you can pledge for as we move to our next program. If you pledge at the $35 level, you'll receive Ray McGovern 2015 interview with Paulette Spencer. At $100, you'll receive that interview along with a DVD, and the premium is called Ray McGovern, The Corruption of U.S. Intelligence DVD with CD Interview. If you wish to connect to your own center and to the divine power and natural world, pledge $50 for the 2-CD Meditation for the New Millennium with Catherine Davis, written and voiced by myself. It's a $50 pledge. And if you want the actual experience of journeying as a shaman with Journey, you can pledge $60 for Journey on the Exhale, shamanic breathwork. It'll be mid-June. It's a Brooklyn location, and you will love the experience. Or you can be very generous and pledge for the whole lot of it. All right, we're going to go to Beauty by Virgo. Good night. Good morning, Paulette.
Good night. Good morning, Kathy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
The face of beauty appears in every step, every sunrise, every ray of sunlight that kisses my skin.
Silence at night, the falling snow. very fragile. All of you know that when you come out, breath, and then you look, and then you feel, golden feel, and then...
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. This is a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, and stuff like that. When we are here, and we are with Richard Bowes, who will be reading for us, and we have to catch up on two movie reviews. Stay tuned.
Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. The high-level takeaway from Mad Max Fury Road, I guess, is that director George Miller treats it as if nothing has happened in film between the end of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome and now. But something did happen, and that something is a franchise called Fast and Furious. After watching Universal harvest a heap of money for relatively little outlay, somebody at Warner's maybe or Village Roadshow maybe said, hey, we've got a franchise with insane car stunts too. In fact, Mad Max, the franchise, kind of defined insane car chase movies, at least for the American market. They were doing it in Australia for a while before that anyway. In any case, 30 years hence, here comes Max again in the person of Tom Hardy this time, since Mel Gibson is otherwise unoccupied, either voluntarily or not. And I have to admit, watching this film reawakened my concerns about maybe having become too jaded about summer movies. A lot has been made of Mad Max Fury Road and its use of practical stunts over CG. There is a lot of CG in the film anyway, because there needs to be. But it's also clear there are a lot of real people piloting and contending with real rolling hardware in there. And there's also been a lot of celebration for how Fury Road is stripping the summer action film down to its purest form. Yes, it is essentially a two-hour-long chase sequence with Max joining forces with Charlize Theron's Imperator Furiosa, lots of colorfully named characters in this film, to help a group of runaway brides escape their imprisonment from a brutal warlord. You gotta respect the effort, at least. It is a kind of pure cinema, pure kinetics. There are problems with it, though, one of which is when you're starting at that accelerated energy level, the risk of overload becomes very real. No matter how insane you make your mise-en-scene, and George Miller is no stranger to plenty insane, Fury Road overflows with colorfully grotesque characters, including hordes of whitewashed slaves, scarified warriors, a clutch of bounteous milk mothers, Master Sans Blaster, and a giant rolling heavy metal war band, and that's just the first half hour there. Throwing all of that in, you fast get to the point of, okay, I get it. What else have you got? I sat there soaking it all in and being, ironically for so car-centric a movie, completely unmoved. Doesn't help that Tom Hardy doesn't project much charisma as the new Max. However you feel about Gibson as a person, you have to admit he has something as a screen presence that isn't easily replicated. And this is not particularly Max's film anyway. Miller seems more fascinated by Theron and her band of comely escapees, with Max along for the ride because somebody possibly thought you couldn't sell a film called Mad Maxine. It's too bad, because the real fun comes from watching Theron with a robotic prosthetic arm and company being all hardcore with bad guys. Even one of the bad guys, Nux, played by Nicholas Hoult, is a more fascinating character to spend time with than the guy with his name on the title. That's not good. So, Mad Max Fury Road is big and loud and very inventive in its visuals and its characters and its action. I can't deny that. And it left me sitting there straining to wrest some enjoyment out of it. I didn't get there. There is something to be said for George Miller bringing back the crazy intensity of classic Australian action film. There's nothing like it in the world still. And for all that this didn't work for me, I'm hoping we'll see more. So, good there. I'm on board with that. I'm even eager to see what Miller does next. Just next time, I hope there's less obsession with pushing the boundaries. As Spinal Tap demonstrated, turning it up to 11 in and of itself doesn't necessarily serve much purpose. I'm Dan Persons. Remember, we are archiving these reviews over at my My Team Movie Podcast website, so check out what you missed by going to My Team Movie Podcast. I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. You don't particularly expect a summer film to contain a critical analysis of a theme park. You also don't expect that analysis to turn into a critique of us as a culture in general. But that's what the Disney company's Tomorrowland wants to be. And while the goal